When I nudge you, that's when you do it.
Throws it short, Foreman with the catch, Foreman to the end zone for the touchdown. Warriors' long pass of the day is 15 yards, and it's intercepted, picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson, untouched for the touchdown.
Hey guys, we're here. I've brought a special guest with us, my 10-year-old son, Riker. And yeah, like you said, the tag didn't last long. Jalen Johnson gets locked up. Very fitting clip there in the beginning. That last portion, of course, of our intro is Jalen Johnson's pick six. And hey, at the end of that touchdown, you see him throwing out the dollar signs. And it all led to this, because without those turnovers, who knows if he gets this money, right? I mean, projected early on, it was like 14 to 16 million. And here we are at average annual of 19 million a year, $54 million guaranteed money. It puts him in the top seven cornerback pay in the NFL. And what a great thing for us here. Yeah, like I said, the tag didn't last very long, and this is perfect. It was a great opportunity. And what a great thing. I've been wanting this, as did most of you. And I'm so glad that it's happened. But kicking us off here, as always, I'm Tim. Next to us here is my brother Jeff, and of course Riker here, my son. Jeff, why don't you say hello to the folks tonight?
It's good to see everybody here, as usual, on a Friday. We do have some, like Tim said, we got some big news last night with Jalen Johnson getting his extension. It did happen pretty quick after the tag got set on him. It was only 2 days. I mean, so they must have already been close to begin with. I'll dig into that some more later. We have a lot to talk about tonight. There has been quite a bit of stuff that's going on. There's some rumors out there that Tim and I are going to address tonight, talking about, you know, Russell Wilson and Josh Jacobs and some other potential free agents and whatnot. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot to go on here, and Jalen Johnson is here to stay, and that's a huge, huge thing. We've been talking about it for a while now that Tim and I have been wanting him to get locked up. I think everybody in Bears Nation wanted him to get locked up. So it was a good day for everybody involved. So like I said, we'll get more into detail about that later. We'll get into the numbers and whatnot, but yeah, great day for the Bears. And there's a lot to look forward to here in the coming weeks. The combine just passed. There's a lot of stuff that happened during the combine, a lot of smoke, like we were talking about the last few weeks, that definitely told some stories. Now, whether that means some decisions have been made or not remains to be seen, because there are some private meetings and stuff that have to happen. But there were definitely some stories and some takeaways from the combine that I'd like to get to as well, if we have some time today. So I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, because obviously this is going to be something we're going to be talking about for the next month. So, but yeah, let's get into a little bit, Tim. And we appreciate Riker coming on. He did a pretty good introduction there. I know he was, you know, preparing for it and making sure he did a good job. So he did. He did a pretty good job there. But yeah, Tim, why don't you break us down? And real quick before we get started here, guys, just a reminder, please give us all a follow. Like the video. We're at Barroom Network, at Tim Willis 24, at JAW, like Jaw 0235, right here every Friday. So give us a like here on the video, guys. Helps boost us here and show some more people our what we do. So anyways, let's get going here, Tim, and get going on some of these topics that we've got to talk about here today.
So first, I'll go ahead and start with the reason Riker wanted to join tonight. Riker is a really big Jalen Johnson fan, like Aldo had put on the screen moments ago. So little backstory here. Riker and I work for Coca-Cola, and we have the account at Lucas Oil Stadium, which is where the Indianapolis Colts play. If you guys don't know, I live in Terre Haute, Indiana, just at an hour away from Indianapolis. So my company offered me tickets to go to the Bears-Colts preseason game this past preseason. So Riker and I went, and we got there early and went down to the tunnel to get some autographs. And we just missed Justin Fields, DJ Moore. It's blanking me, but there were about five or six players we missed out on. And out comes Jalen Johnson out of the tunnel, and he's got his video camera up. I don't know if you guys looked at on Bears' YouTube page back here in the preseason or around that time. At the end of preseason, they aired his video on their YouTube channel that he had recorded all throughout the preseason and training camp, so on and so forth. And he comes out of the tunnel with the camera, and he's looking up at us and everybody else, and he starts taking his camera off and starts walking out towards the field, and Riker screams out, "Jalen Johnson!" And Jalen stops, turns around, because he's right in front of us, walks up towards us, puts his camera down, takes Riker's gloves and signs him. I wish Riker had him, but it was a really cool moment. The fact that a fan caught his attention, a young fan, and he came back and signed Riker's gloves, even though he didn't sign autographs for anybody else. That was really cool that he did that, and that really made Riker's day and probably his life, considering, you know, at a young age, he's able to get an autograph from a professional football player and one of the best Bears we have and one of his favorite Bears players. So really cool moment there, which makes this such a great thing that we were able to lock him up. But like Jeff said, we'll get to the specifics of the deal here shortly. But let's go ahead and start. There's a lot of rumor as far as free agency goes. And, you know, we've spent so much time over the last several weeks, really all season that we've had, or all since our podcast started, we've talked about the quarterback position and the future of it and whatnot. So tonight we're going to try to dive in a little bit more to some of these rumors and things that we're hearing. Just to start off, one of the hottest names in free agency thus far this year is Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter is a defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings. If you did not already know, last year could not work out a deal. So I believe they tagged him, this past season, if I'm not mistaken.
They did.
Okay.
But then they signed him to a 1-year deal, if I'm not mistaken, right after that. So
I think you're right. So, with that being said, he played out the 1 year, kind of a prove it year, and he balled out. He had an excellent year. So there's a lot of teams coveting his services. The problem is, number one, he's on the wrong side of 30. If I'm not mistaken, he's 31 years old, correct? Or am I wrong? I believe he's 31.
That I'm not 100% sure on.
I think he's 30, 31, somewhere around that age. But like I said, that's for as far as contracts go, you're pushing, second re-sign. He's 29.
Thank you, Aldo.
Thank you, Aldo. Yeah, he's a little bit on the older side, especially for that position. So he's definitely going to have a market. I mean, we just saw Javon Hargrave sign a big deal last offseason, and he was in his 30s already on the defensive line. So there's going to be a market for Danielle Hunter. But the reason I mention him is because he has been, by many people, since the offseason began, that he could potentially be a target for the Bears to pair up with Montez Sweat, especially considering how nasty that would be having those two on opposite bookends on the defensive line. But now we're starting to hear that there is mutual interest or some rumors saying that the Bears are interested in bringing in Danielle Hunter. So let's start with this, Jeff. To me, I don't think this is a reality because I don't see Poles double dipping on the defensive line as far as contracts go, big money contracts for the same on the same position of area when there's so many positions of need. But Jeff, why don't you go ahead and give us your thoughts on what you think and if he's a fit, if you think it's a possibility, and what would it take for this to happen?
So first off, let me mention where this where this all came from in the first place. Jeremy Fowler, I don't remember if it was a report, if it was a piece that he wrote, that I believe is a piece that he wrote in a column that he wrote for ESPN. And he'd mentioned that it was going to be very hard for the Vikings to retain Danielle Hunter. And part of that is because they obviously didn't tag him again. And that was part of the reason why they were able to retain him last year and rework that 1 year salary. But if you notice, he didn't sign a long-term extension for a reason. Something happened where they couldn't come to terms on an agreement there. So now that he wasn't tagged this year, he's going to end up hitting the market. So, and Tim said he does have a market. I agree that he will have a market. The fact of the matter is, though, and this is just my opinion here, the Bears have spent, they put a lot of investment into their defense so far already. You know, they invested big money into Montez Sweat. He's the highest paid player right now that Poles has given money to at $98 million in his overall money. So he's making a lot. Tremaine Edmonds he's making $72 million over the course of his contract. And now Jalen Johnson's making $76 million over the course of his. So not thinking about all that, you know, you've got these big investments, and not to mention, in fact, you're going to have to extend one of your young players that you've drafted recently, like a Kyler Bourne or a Jaquan Brisker I should say. So you have to leave some money around for some of that. Now, also that being said, you have to have some money to spend on offense as well. You got to start allocating some big money to some offensive pieces besides just Cole Kmet. You know, now the one thing I will say is that I really do think they are going to spend some money here in free agency, but I'm interested to see where they're going to spend their money. Greg Gabriel mentioned earlier today that last year, if you guys don't remember, there were a lot of players that were linked to the Bears in the media and otherwise, and the Bears didn't sign really a single one of them. And what they ended up doing was spending big money on two off-ball linebackers right off the bat. So
that should tell you. None of us expected.
Nobody expected that. I definitely did not see Tremaine Edmonds coming in on $18 million a year. I didn't see that in a million years, but he did. So that's what happened. And the fact of the matter is, like I said, I retweeted Greg's post there, and I'd mentioned in mine that Poles is very good at keeping his cards close to the vest. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. Now, the whole reason I say all that is because I don't anticipate big money going towards a defensive end, especially when he just paid a defensive end, especially considering the fact that Eberflus has mentioned time and time again that the three cogs to his defense are the three tech, the nickel, and the Will linebacker. I got caught up for a second there. But so you're talking about three players, and you can make the argument that two of them are locked up right now in Kyler Gordon, and right now the Will is Edwards. But you don't really know if your three tech is solidified. So in my opinion, if they were going to put big money towards a defensive player in the market, it would be probably that three tech. But I also think they have a lot of faith in who they have there right now. Those two young players, Jervon Dexter, showed big growth at the end of the season last year. And if he can continue to climb like that, you're talking about a guy who could be a dominant piece of this defense and maybe take it over the top. So it's going to be interesting to see where the money does get allocated. But again, that reporting was from Jeremy Fowler mentioning that the Bears could be interested in his opinion because the Vikings, he did not think, were going to be able to retain him. It was going to be hard for them to do that. And then Brendan Shagrew over at Bears Wire wrote an article about it. You guys should go check that out. So anyways, in my opinion, I just don't see a world where they'd be able to pay Danielle Hunter the kind of money he's going to command, especially considering the fact he is going to have a market. And Poles has shown time and time again, guys, he's got that number that he's not willing to go over, regardless of player. So if there's a number there that other teams are starting to, you know, jump over that Poles isn't going to be willing to meet, then that's going to be it for that. So maybe they have interest. It's hard to say. But if they start climbing over the number the Bears are willing to pay, then they're going to be out of the market.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm – like, I just don't – as much as I would love to see Montez Sweat and Danielle Hunter, you want to talk about going from, you know, bottom of the pack defensive line to getting Montez Sweat and really climbing. But then having probably the best defensive line in all of football if you have those two outside. But again, I just don't see a scenario where they do that. because I do think they're going to spend some money in free agency. I don't think there's going to be any splash deals, just my personal opinion, but there's going to be some money to be spent in free agency. And I think a lot of that's going to be depth pieces. And I've been on the record saying this before. There's just too many needs on the offensive line, some needs on the defensive line rotationally, as well as the offensive line for depth. And possibly, you know, some plug and play starters if you need to. But it's just kind of there's just too many needs to me to see them doubling down on one position group as far as big money contracts go, especially with what he's done thus far as clearing out contracts and clearing out cap space. It just doesn't go with Ryan Poles' MO from what we've seen of him so far. However, somewhere I do think we could spend some money and where I think is a decent possibility is at the safety position. And there's been a lot of movement. Really quickly, there was a question by Vizo Joe on here. Does Riker want Fields or Caleb Williams? I'll let you answer it.
I want Fields.
There's your answer. But you know,
to be fair, he's a kid, and the only one of those players he's seen play in Chicago is Justin Fields. So
right.
He's going to be way more biased than most people.
Yes, 100%. So,
but he loves Justin.
He does love Justin. He was going to wear his Justin Fields jersey, and I was like, yeah, there might be some homers on here. You might go put on your DJ Moore jersey because everybody loves DJ Moore. But anyway, I digress. Anyway, what I was saying, safety position. There's been a lot of movement on a lot of safeties recently cut as cap casualties. And to be frank, the NFL just doesn't view the safety position anymore as a premium position to pay players big money. And here you go. There's a list of them here on the screen now that Aldo's put up. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Xavier McKinney, Cameron Curl, Jordan Poyer, Julian Blackman, Jordan Fuller, Jeremy Chin, Geno Stone, Jordan Whitehead, Aloe Gilman, and Micah Hyde. That's a lot of guys that are now free agents.
Justin Simmons on that list? He just got cut too by the Broncos.
Justin Simmons too. So a lot of names and a lot of big names in there that we see. And my thought here is, so there's a couple of different ways that this can go. I do see a good possibility that they do go with safety in free agency, signing one. I don't think it's going to be anything big money. I really don't. Otherwise, why wouldn't you just keep Eddie Jackson? I mean, because what you are getting out of him, his contract, you know, though it was big on the books, compared to what some of these guys are going to command now and what they've gotten already, that's really not comparable. A lot of those guys are getting close to $20 million a year. So,
well, I think you can make the argument, though, that if you're spending that much money on your safety anyways, you might as well go spend on someone who you think you're going to get an upgrade from production-wise.
Oh, because I agree.
As much of a leader as Eddie Jackson is, if you allocate that money that he was being paid towards a safety who's going to give you better production, you do it in a heartbeat. So, right. I mean, I do think that that is one position that they could target, but I do agree with you. I don't see them spending big money on a safety.
Right.
I would see them more likely spending that capital in the draft on a safety somewhere. And it's a thin class, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them go ahead and sign one either. But I do want to speak on a couple of these safeties real quick before we move on to another topic. One of the guys that I've seen a lot of Bears jumping on is Geno Stone. And the guy has been pretty good in coverage over the years. The one knock he has, and this is mostly a PFF grade. I haven't watched enough of him to like confirm to you guys. Like, I've seen enough on film myself to where he's like bad in this area. But PFF has him graded as like one of the worst safeties in run defense in the entire league. So, and we all know how big Eberflus is on his defensive, you know, he's defensive backs and tackling. It's a big deal to him. So, in my opinion, I don't see a world if Geno Stone is, in fact, not a good run defender. I don't see a world where they're going to bring him in there. I guess it's possible, but I just don't see that in my opinion. Justin Simmons is an interesting one. He just got cut by the Broncos. He's a little older, but he's not super old. I believe he's also 29, if I'm not mistaken. But typically the Bears don't give away big deals, but if they could get him on a relatively team-friendly deal on a year or two there to solidify that back end for a little bit. He's a very, very, very good player still. And I think that that could possibly work, you know. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see that. You know, I'm interested to see what they do with the safety position. There's a couple positions I'd like to see whether they're either going to address in the draft or free agency, kind of the same as last year. It's like, you know, you really don't know which ones they're going to address. So you kind of have an idea after free agency what direction they might go in the draft. So, you know, obviously that's what we're looking forward to here is to see what happens in free agency. So, you know, again, there's a lot of free agent options at the safety position. It's a very thin class in the draft from what we've seen. So I would anticipate that they are going to sign someone, but I would like to see, I'm interested to see who it's going to be, the length of the contract, the money, all of that, and to see if they're also going to go ahead and draft one, you know, as well.
So one name on there that really intrigues me, and yes, I'm going to be a little biased here. And I remember you remember this name a lot, Jeff, because we haven't heard him in a long time. It's Aloe Gilman. Aloe Gilman's a Notre Dame grad. Loved him at Notre Dame. He was a great player at Notre Dame. And he had a breakout 2023 season, and he's actually on PFF's all-breakout team. And the reason I really like him, too, besides the fact that he went to Notre Dame, and obviously I love Notre Dame and love to see Notre Dame players on the Bears. Again, that's a lot of connections, Cole Kmet, amongst others. But the reason I say him, I don't think he's going to command a whole lot of money. He's only 26 years old. He's still got, you know, he's still in his prime. He's still, you know, he's still got 4 years till he's in his 30s. If you sign him to a 4-year deal or a 3-year deal, he's still going to be under 30 years old. He's an ascending player. I don't think he's going to cost what some of those other guys cost, especially with the names on that list. Like he's certainly not going to reset the market or anything like that. I think he's a guy that you could get probably even less than what you were paying Eddie Jackson annually. And he's going to he's going to play better. In my opinion, he's going to be a much more productive safety, and he's a veteran. So that would pair up well with Jaquan Brisker. And cause let's face reality, Jaquan Brisker is still a young player. He's still learning and he's still got some room to ascend and grow. And he, you know, he's not on the field a whole lot sometimes because of injuries and because the way he plays. So I think somebody like Aloe Gilman would be a really great person and player to set beside or to play beside Jaquan Brisker. And that's just, I just wanted to mention because that's one name I think is actually a pretty good possibility. If you're going to pay a safety, that's the kind of guy you do, especially one at that age with that kind of production and, you know, the potential that's there as well.
I do like Gilman, and another guy that I think that I like a little bit is Jeremy Chinn. He's shown that he can be a pretty good player in this league too. I haven't heard much from him as of late, but he has shown he can be a pretty good player. So like I said, I'm interested to see where they go there. But moving on to another free agent, there was also another story out there. A guy named Michael Halitek wrote for Sports Mockery that he thinks Russell Wilson could be an option for the Bears as a bridge quarterback if they don't draft a quarterback number one, or even if they do. He basically said that because of the fact Russell Wilson is being paid $30 million by the Broncos, that some team is going to get him on a league minimum deal, he believes. And if the Bears can do that, they're still able to maximize free agency and their cap space while allowing a rookie to learn underneath Russell Wilson and not having to throw them right into the fire right away. So he thinks that that could be a possibility. I would really tend to doubt that that's going to happen in my personal opinion, because if you're going to do that, then why wouldn't you just stick with Justin for the year and not pick up his option, roll with him for a year. And if you're going to draft a quarterback, if you're going to do that though, it's probably not going to be Caleb Williams number one, regardless. You know what I mean? Because if you're going to go with Russell Wilson and then draft Caleb Williams, that doesn't make any sense. In my opinion, he's the number one pick in the draft. You roll with that guy. So I think in the basis of the article, you're looking at this like the Bears move down and take a different quarterback and have them learn underneath Russell Wilson. And Aldo puts on the screen here that Russell is meeting with the New York Giants and following that by visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Before you continue really quickly, you know, you mentioned as well that, you know, if he's going to be the number one pick, he's talking about Caleb Williams, that's not going to work out. And let's face reality, as he said, you know, he wants to be the number one pick. He doesn't have plan Bs. I'm telling you right now, that would never work out. If that kid got drafted and you're going to try to bench him from the start and let him groom, that's not his. He said on record that he wants to create and rewrite history. That's what he wants to do. And he's not going to do that from the bench as a rookie. It ain't going to happen.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. I can't remember exactly for sure in the article what the wording was, if they mentioned Caleb Williams or not, but they did mention if the Bears were to take a quarterback and let him ride under Russell Wilson. But I'm just speculating that if they were to do that, it wouldn't be with Caleb Williams. It'd be with somebody they drafted a little bit later to groom, because I don't think you do that with the number one pick. I think he comes in and starts. He has to, in my opinion.
Right.
So
I agree. If it's going to be Caleb, he needs to start.
Yeah, that I agree with that. If they draft Caleb, he needs to come in and start right away. Now, that being said, another part of this that I wanted to mention too is that you could make the argument that, like, well, if you're going to do that and you're going to stick with, because like I said, my argument was you could just stick with Justin if you're going to do that and like let him ride out for one more year. Don't pick up his fifth year option. Let him play it out the year and then hit free agency. And then bring in your guy. Now, somebody might make the argument, well, why would you not want to bring in Russell Wilson, who's had years of success, for this kid to learn underneath instead of maybe picking up some of the bad habits, quote unquote, you could say, that Justin maybe has developed over the course of his career. Now, I could see where you're coming from with that. But again, I don't really see that world, because for one, Russ is going to want an opportunity to start somewhere and potentially more than on like a 1 year deal. I don't know that though, because I don't know what his services look like right now, but he obviously already has interest for two more people, or from two teams already, I should say, in the Steelers and the Giants. And he, like I said, I believe he's in Pittsburgh right now. There's always been a mutual respect between him and Mike Tomlin. I've heard that on multiple shows today. So I could definitely see that being the case, where he could go there and be the guy in Pittsburgh for a little bit. And to me, it's like, you know, that makes perfect sense for Wilson, is being in Pittsburgh. So, you know, and just in my opinion, like, I just don't see a world where that makes any kind of sense. If they're going to take a quarterback, just take them. Take them number one, be done with it. It's probably going to be Williams if that's the case, because that's another thing I wanted to mention, kind of, guys. I don't want to spend a bunch of time on it, but after the combine, I'd mentioned to you guys a few weeks back and over the course of the last couple weeks that whatever happened at the combine, the smoke that we started to hear there was going to give us a little bit better indicator of what direction the Bears might go. And at the combine, it really was pretty much all Justin's probably going to be traded, and Caleb is looking more and more like the guy. His teammates are saying good things about him at the podium, and everybody's talking about how he's a good guy by all accounts. So really, I'm not hearing anything to sway as far as he's not a good enough, the good kind of guy you'd want to be in your organization. Now, I'm not in the meetings with him and the Bears in those private meetings. And that's what I keep telling you guys too. So that's why I still don't think you can say that a decision has been made on that front. And again, I don't want to spend a bunch of time on this, but my whole point is that there's as of the combine, that smoke I was talking about, it is kind of leaning in this direction now. So we can't sit here and say that, like, you know, it's not a likelihood, because at this point, I think you have to kind of argue that it is a likelihood just based on what we're seeing right now. So whether or not we like it or want it, I think we kind of have to understand that that's the way it's leaning right now. So again, I don't want to spend a bunch of time on it, but let me just branch off into kind of where I was going with another point.
I want to quickly mention as far as Russell Wilson goes. For one, I mean, Russell Wilson did have a pretty decent season last year, but he's not the same Russell Wilson he was in Seattle. He's just not that player anymore. And yeah, I mean, if you can get him for the veteran minimum, that's great. I mean, that would work out really well as far as the cap and things go. But if the stories are true, and, you know, he's got his own office in Denver, he's not even in the locker room with the rest of the players, you know, he and Sean Payton had a poor relationship because, you know, they treated him as if he wasn't just another player and that he wasn't the same as the rest of them. He was higher and more important than the rest of the team, you know, that kind of, and I'm not saying Russell Wilson's any type of person, because from everything that I've seen and heard from him, he's a great individual, does a lot of humanitarian work. You know, him and Sierra both do that. And Sierra's his wife, if you guys don't know, she's a singer as well. But to me, you know, you can't, with the way that they've constructed this locker room in Chicago and the way that they're bringing players in and avoiding bringing in other players to fit that football character mold, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with Russell Wilson's character or football character, but if he's getting any sort of special treatment from an organization or from his agent or whatever, you know, if the other players see that, how are they going to respond? And that can be divisive in a locker room, especially. So to me, it's one of those things where, yeah, it'd be nice to have Russell Wilson if you're going to bring in a rookie that's not Caleb Williams. But at the same time, you also have to be sure that you're not creating that type of scenario or that type of environment, because the rookie has to be able to develop and the other players need to be able to look to the rookie as, you know, a leader and not just, you know, Russell Wilson as well. And he's got to be the same on the same level as the rest of the team, or it's never going to work. So, like I said, I've always liked Russell Wilson. I was ecstatic when the deal happened, when they did trade for him, even though they gave up a ton. To me, he was going to be the guy. He was going to be the quarterback that was going to lead us out of the doldrums. And we were actually going to finally have a quarterback in Chicago that was going to lead us all the way to the playoffs. And he was going to be our Michael Jordan of football. So, but, you know, again, it never happened. And, you know, because of the league vetoing that deal, but, you know, at the same time, you know, that was back when he was in his prime, and now we're, you know, he's getting older, and, you know, I don't know that it's even a good scenario or a good situation for him. So go ahead, Jeff. I know you wanted to move on to a different topic. I just wanted to point that out really quickly to give a different perspective on that.
Yeah, I agree with you there also. I feel like if there was any kind of, and I can't, that's just speculation. I haven't heard anything about that myself. But if there was any kind of like special treatment and stuff going on with Russ, I definitely do not see a world where that would happen in Chicago, because of the fact that, as Poles has mentioned in the past, it's a young and impressionable locker room that they're still trying to build that culture in. So I don't see that for a number of different reasons. And that is a good point that you make there with that. So moving on though, there was another interesting tidbit that came from Jason McKee, former Bears fullback. He is on, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was on ESPN podcast with Pat the Designer that he mentioned this, but he mentioned that his agent had told him that there's mutual interest between the Bears and Josh Jacobs. And here's what I'll have to say to that real quick. Now, could there be mutual interest between the Bears and Josh Jacobs? Sure. And he has said that he thinks that Josh Jacobs has serious interest in the Bears. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that Josh Jacobs wants to play in Chicago. The one thing I would say is maybe the Bears have interest, but I can tell you one thing right now. I really do not see a world where the Bears would spend money on a running back like that, especially one who has already gone through his rookie contract. Then he spent another year, I believe it was, what is on the franchise tag he played last year or something. But in any case, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he did, but I could be wrong about that. But in any case, he's only getting older. And I saw a post yesterday on Twitter, and I can't remember who it was that posted now, but it was excellent. And it listed the salaries of the last 10 Super Bowl winning running backs, leading rushers in the Super Bowl, I should say. And the last two were obviously Isaiah Pacheco. But if I'm not mistaken, not a single one of those running back salaries of those leading rushers in the Super Bowl exceeded $2 million a year. Not a single one of them. So
Isaiah Pacheco is a seventh-round pick.
And he made, like, I believe it was like $700,000, $800,000 last year or something. So it's like, in my opinion, I don't see a world where the Bears are going to go spend big money on a running back, especially because that's just the trend in the NFL right now. They just don't pay big money to running backs unless they feel like the team is right there and they have the money to do it. And in my opinion, the Bears aren't right there yet. They just spent a draft pick on a running back last year. They have another running back who's pretty good in Khalil Herbert, whose contract is, if I'm not mistaken, this is the last year of his deal. And so they're going to be, in my opinion, I think they're going to be in the market for a running back in the draft. I don't see them being, Cliff makes the point that he's only 26, Jacobs, but still, I just don't see a world where you pay top, where you pay big money to a running back. I just don't. And I mentioned to you guys before, Poles has that number that he doesn't like to jump. He doesn't like to exceed. And Brett makes the point that you never pay free agent running backs. And I tend to agree with you for the most part on that, because they usually don't work out very well. And in most worlds, they don't. I mean, running back is just, it's one of those positions that takes so much wear and tear that, like, you just can't expect them to have long extended careers for the most part. And typically you can get really good production in later rounds of the draft from your running backs. Like Tim said, Isaiah Pacheco is a seventh round pick and he was the leading rusher in the last two Super Bowls.
So, well, I would say you would, the one scenario that you would pay a running back would be like, for instance, last year when we had David Montgomery extending, you know, a homegrown talent, especially one that, you know, it has production. It's, you know, it's still a younger age, doesn't have injury concerns. But even then, like, they offered Dave Montgomery like $6 million a year. I mean, they weren't paying him crazy money. I don't see a scenario where they would pay a Saquon Barkley or a Josh Jacobs an $11, $12 million a year annually. It's just not going to happen. When you can get a running back in the draft in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, that's going to have the same production, if not more, at a fraction. I mean, a huge fraction of the cost.
Let me just say this. I don't know that you can argue he would have the same production or more. Josh Jacobs is a damn good football player. And he's a damn good running back. Now, he had a down year last year, but he has shown he can be a dominant back in the league. Now, still, though, guys, the point that we're trying to make here, though, is you can get enough production from your running backs, getting them later on in the draft and not spending big money on them. I do think the Bears could bring in a running back in free agency, but they're not going to spend a bunch of money on them. Last year, they brought in Travis Homer for like $2 million a year for 2 years. Then they brought in Foreman late because they needed another back after the draft. And so I could see them doing the same thing this year. If they don't get a back in the draft that they like, maybe then they go and dip their toe into free agency again and see if they can get someone there that they feel like they can play with. But they've already got Herbert and they've already got Johnson, and we know they like Johnson. So I just don't see that being an area where you're going to spend big money either.
I agree. And there's a comment on the screen from Bullets that says, Herbert's been in the league for 3 years, 1,775 yards, 8 touchdowns, signed Jacobs. Well, you know, Bullets, you're right, 1,775 and 8 touchdowns, but let's look at the numbers behind that. Those 1,775 yards, he's averaging almost 5 yards a carry, if not more, for his career.
He's been hurt a lot. The durability is a concern there, though. So that's kind of the point. I mean, so Bullets, I see your point. Yeah, it's not a production issue with him. It's an issue with his durability, being able to stay healthy throughout this. But again, like I just said, that's running backs. They have difficulty staying healthy because of all the wear and tear. I don't think you spend big money on a running back knowing that that's the world you could possibly be living in there. Whereas, you know, you get a guy like McCaffrey, you spend big money on him, and he's the bulk of your offense, like Bizo Joe is talking about here, carrying the Niners to their Super Bowl. Well, what happens when McCaffrey goes down? Are they the same kind of offense?
Well, and McCaffrey's actually
still very good. Don't get me wrong.
There are a few situations, and McCaffrey's been pretty durable, with the exception of one season in Carolina. He's been a really durable running back. But you look at guys like Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, especially Saquon Barkley, all of them have some sort of injury concerns where they haven't played full seasons. It's just, when's the last time last year? Not this past season, but the season before, I think, was Saquon Barkley's only season where he played all 17 games. Josh Jacobs hasn't played all 17 games, I think, except for last year, or 2022, I should say. Same thing. You know, like Jeff's saying, running back injuries happen. I am not of the idea to spend big money on a running back when there's going to be several weeks they don't play anyway, most likely. Bring in several guys. And that's why guys can come in from the practice squad and still have success when they get promoted to the starting lineup or to a backup role when a guy gets hurt. Because running back, for one, it's an easier transition into the NFL than most positions in college, because, you know, it's similar style of play. The only difference is obviously, you know, pass pro, which is more difficult for some guys. But it's a position that guys can more easily transition. So to me, and like, I'm going to go along with what Jeff's saying here, why pay a guy when you can draft one later in the draft and, you know, pay them, you know, small rookie deals, especially if they're getting drafted late in the draft. The best running back in the draft class this year, most likely, Audric Estime, he's probably going to fall to the fourth or fifth round because he had a 4.7 40 time. But if
Which is crazy.
But if you watch the guy, he's got incredible game speed. He just blows past guys once he gets into the open field. There was a, and Greg Gabriel was talking about this on his show the other day. There was a run, and I can't remember what game it was. Audric Estime was, he went, got into the open field, and he outran one of the fastest players in the entire draft class. Outran him. Guy could not catch him. One of the fastest players. So, you know, those times don't matter, those 40 times, especially for a running back like him. But my point being here, this guy is going to fall to the fifth or, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth round, possibly. And he's probably going to walk in the NFL and be a day one starter. And if he went into Chicago right now, he would be the starter in Chicago, which is my point. So you can get a guy like that, you know, that's going to have the same success, if not more, than a Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley. And you can get him late in the draft at a fraction of the cost. Not even several of them barely going to make $1 million a year instead of paying 11 or 12 million a year and using that cap space for a safety or a center or depth on the O-line or depth in the defense or in your secondary. You know, there's a lot of places where we could use the free agent spending instead of a running back. Just my two cents. Well,
there's like three or four comments in here I want to hit on real quick before we move on to a different topic, because you guys are all making good points. The first one I'm going to hit on is the one that was just on the screen that Bullets makes, is that Josh Jacobs' first 3 years, 3,087 yards, 28 touchdowns, and he's more durable than Herbert. I will give you all that. I'm not disagreeing with any of those points, Bullets. You're 100% right. Josh Jacobs would totally be an upgrade as a running back in this offense. The point that we're making is simply that I don't think it's the upgrade it warrants. It's enough of an upgrade to warrant paying him big money when there's other positions on the roster that you can allocate that money to. And it's shown that you don't have to pay a running back big money to get to where you want to go, is the whole point. So I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. You're 1,000% right. He's a great player. I just don't think it makes a ton of sense in this day and age to sign those guys to big money. Now, going back a little bit, James mentions that running back by low money committee is definitely the approach. I tend to agree with that. It's kind of shown that way to be the case in the past with most teams. But usually there is a lead back that kind of leads the way there for the most part. And usually it's like a guy, you know, obviously Pacheco was the guy the last 2 years, as I mentioned. And usually a team has a guy that they like to go to for the most part in those situations. But again, they're not usually getting paid big money. Look at the last 10 leading rushers in the Super Bowl, as I mentioned. So, and then another comment that Aldo made in here that was a good point is that anybody can run behind the Bears O-line. And I tend to agree with that because they do have a very good run blocking offensive line. If the Bears have any kind of issues as a line, it's in the pass protection game, and they have struggled there at times. They really have. So that's why he says some weeks here. And there are some weeks where they don't run the ball as well either. But for the most part, I feel like just about anybody can run behind that line. I tend to agree with you there. And Tooch makes a point. I agree with this too. Running back is very deep in this draft. And so, you know, with Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson, do they strike fear in the hearts of opposing teams? Probably not. But like I said, I think they are going to address the position in the draft. I think they take one. I just don't see them allocating big money resources and free agency towards one.
Well, and I do see them drafting one.
I mean, Tim and I have been beating the drum for Audric Estime for weeks now, as you guys know. Yes. So we love that guy. I would love to see him.
I don't think Khalil Herbert was ever intended to be like a bell cow back. He's more of the finesse, the guy that gets into the open field and he blows past you. Like he's a finesse runner. He's not a power back. That's not his style. You know, he's very shifty and he's really, really good at picking up big yardage, but he was never going to be an every down back. And, you know, the whole point of Roschon Johnson and Deontay Foreman with him, and back, you know, 2 years ago, David Montgomery with him, is because they're supposed to be complementary backs together, and it never panned out because nobody could stay healthy for the entire season for all of them to be together.
Well,
so
let me make one more point real quick. Because there was another comment in here that I wanted to address and I forgot. I believe it was Lavelle made the point that I believe he was talking about Josh Jacobs doesn't do well in blitz pickup. And the Bears have shown that's important to them. They need running backs who are willing to stick their nose in there and get the job done. That's why David Montgomery had such a role over Khalil Herbert, because there were times where Herbert was just flat out running the ball better than Montgomery. But Montgomery was so much better in blitz pickup that they couldn't trust Herbert to be in there when they needed to pass the football. So,
and to go along with your point, what was Khalil Herbert's biggest improvement from last year going into this year?
He did improve significantly there. I'll give him that. But he still wasn't like an all-world beater or anything like that.
But my point was that was something you had to
improve. That's why Roschon was in so much in blitz pickup, because he's so good at it. He was the best that they have on the team at it. So, and that's, again, I know we keep saying this because we obviously have a bias here to estimate because, you know, played at Notre Dame, but this dude really does do everything well, guys. He's phenomenal in blitz pickup. You should have seen him, like, stand up a defensive – I can't remember what game it was, but I was watching a clip. I believe it was Mike Golic Jr. that was posting it because he's also a Notre Dame alum. But he was talking – he showed this clip of Estime just flat-out standing up this pass rusher, a big one too. And it was, like – it was just impressive the way he was able to power this guy back like that. So, you know – I do think that they will address the position. I agree with you guys. I just think it will be in the draft. I don't see them allocating big money towards it. And I do agree with most of you guys that are talking about the fact that you don't throw big money towards a running back. But again,
well, and Aldo puts a good comment on the screen here, just on there. He says, you never pay a player for what they've done. You pay them for what you think they're going to do. And that's telling, because let's look at it this way. Who do we just cut? Eddie Jackson. Cody Whitehair. We cut them both because their contracts did not – what you were going to get from them wasn't worth what the contract was still paying. So if that was the case, we would have at least kept Eddie Jackson, but because it didn't work. You're not going to pay him for what he's done in the past. It's what he's going to continue to do.
And yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree with Aldo. That's an excellent point. And Ball says, Notre Dame, baby, absolutely go Irish. We're big fans. We're from that area, if you didn't already know. Grew up in South Bend area, or born and raised there. But yeah, I totally agree with Aldo, because I mean, you have to think about this for a minute. Yeah. I mean, your past is your resume, right? The teams are going to see what you did and decide that they're going to pay you because you have a good resume in your past, but they're not going to pay you for that. They're going to pay you because they expect you to continue to rise and provide for them in the way that you either have or more so, because that is the investment they're putting in you. So I totally agree with that. You don't pay a guy just because he has done those things. You pay him because you think he can continue to do that or more in your future going forward. So if there's any inclination that you don't think one of those guys can have longevity because of the wear and tear, Josh Jacobs has had a shit ton of carries. Pardon my language. But he has run the ball a ton in his first few years in the league. So if you don't think this guy has had some wear and tear,
340 plus in 2022.
I mean, that's a lot, guys. It's a lot, especially in this day and age. I mean, so you got to think about that for a minute. So in my opinion, I just don't see it. I don't see the big money. So that's just my take, but let's move on, because there's some big stuff I want to get to here before we hit. There's one more thing before we get to Jalen Johnson's deal. So the Ryan Bates trade, we've all seen it happen in the past few days. Now, for those of you who didn't know, Ryan Bates is an offensive lineman for the Buffalo Bills. He was not a regular starter for them, but he has, when he does come in and start, he's a very, if nothing else, he's a serviceable starter, and he can be a very, if not high-level starter, pretty damn good-level starter. So the Bears, 2 years ago, when Ryan Poles first came in, offered a contract to Ryan Bates when he was a restricted free agent.
I believe it's the first contract they offered, correct?
I'm not 100%. No, Ogunjobi would have been.
But, that's right. That's right.
But in any case, Bates was offered a deal by the Bears, and he accepted it. And if you guys don't know, a restricted free agent does not have an opportunity to just go and sign with that team and go there. His team that has the rights to him, in his case, the Bills, had the opportunity to match the contract that the Bears offered him, and they did. So he stayed with Buffalo for the last 2 years, and they've had some issues with some injuries and stuff, and he's had to play, and he's been playing pretty well, and the Bears clearly have still had their eye on him, because now they've traded a fifth round pick for him. Now, what does all this mean? Now, there's been a lot of people who have said he's obviously going to come in and be the starting center now, because he does have experience there, and the Bears need a center. I think today, if the season started today, yes, he's your starting center. However,
can I actually start this and you can rebuttal, because I want to make a point here real
quick. Yes, yeah, so go ahead.
Cliff makes a comment here, fifth round pick for Bates is value. He's a great swing guard. I'm telling you guys right now, Ryan Bates was brought in to be the starting center. That is what he's here for. Ryan Poles is not giving up a fifth round pick for a backup guard or backup center. Ryan Bates is the starter. He was brought in to be the starter because what has Ryan Poles shown he can do in the fifth round? He can find starters on the offensive line in the fifth round. Braxton Jones. He's not giving up a fifth round pick for a backup swing guard center in the NFL. He's a starter. Now, played 40 snaps this past season at center. He wasn't a starter in Buffalo, but he was in line to start in Buffalo. And I think that Ryan Poles saw that he was going to be the starter because they were going to cut their center and he wanted this guy. So he made a move to get him. This is the guy he wanted 2 years ago over Lucas Patrick. Before they went for Lucas Patrick, they had a deal with Ryan Bates, like Jeff said. Okay. Now, they only have 6 picks in the draft, and then they traded that 5th, so they're down to 5 picks now, okay? And here it is right here. Tuch is right on the screen now. Excellent. With only 5 picks in the next draft. It doesn't seem like Poles will trade back with the 1st pick or 9th pick. Poles is a guy that loves having a lot of picks. I disagree. I think it means we are trading back. And not necessarily with the 1st.
Well, he says it seems likely, Tim.
I'm sorry. I read that wrong. I'm sorry, Tuch. Yes, I agree. 100%. It means they're going to trade down. Whether that's 1 or 9, I don't know. I can tell you what I think. And I'm not going to give you my thoughts, but I will say which one is going to net you the most value. Where are you going to get the most back to pick up more capital? If you think for 1 second that Ryan Poles is going to walk into the draft with 5 draft picks and walk out with 5 players, you are wrong. I don't care what you say. He is going to acquire picks. And the best way to do that is with your higher picks. You're not going to pick up a ton of value trading down from 4th round picks or 3rd round picks or 2nd round picks, which we don't even have right now. You aren't going to get a lot out of that. You're going to pick up some additional late round picks, but you need 1st, 2nd, 3rd round picks. That's where you find your starters. And to me, he's not going to give up a pick when those assets are so valuable to him right now, because what has he said from the beginning? He will build through the draft. This is what he's done. He's stuck to his word since he's been here. He's not giving up a draft pick, especially a 5th round pick where he is known to find starters with those picks. He's not giving that up for a backup. It's not, I'm telling you, this guy is being brought in to be the starter. Now, I will say, I think they're drafting a center still. I 100% believe that. But my point is, what is Greg Gabriel said from the beginning, and I 100% agree, what is the hardest position to come in and play in the NFL? It is center, because it's a very difficult position. There's a lot that goes into being a center in the NFL, because you are basically the quarterback of the offensive line. You're in charge of shifts, protections, everything, okay? It's hard for a rookie to come in here and do that. They'd have to be incredibly smart, okay? So, with that being said, you bring in a guy like Ryan Bates, who is only making, what is it, $4 million annually? Is that what the deal is, correct? I believe it's $4 million.
Something like that, yeah, I believe so.
Right. My point, it's $4 million, okay? That's low. That's not a lot of money. You know he can play center. He's done it. He's obviously a great, backup guard or center. You can bring him in to start at center, at least for 1 year, groom the center that you're bringing in the draft, the rookie. And now you're going to have a center ready to rock and roll by year 2. And you're not going to lose a whole lot by having Bates out there. The center's rookie year. You're not going to lose much. To me, this whole thing. It's the mastermind of Ryan Poles. This is a guy that's not 1, 2, he's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 steps ahead. This guy is prepared. He knows what he's doing. He's ready to go. Like he's got these things planned out. Okay. So when he makes a trade with a 5th round pick for Ryan Bates, it's not just to have Bates as a backup. Okay. It's because he's going to start and he's going to groom a new center. That's my belief, and I really believe that's going to happen. Because the first thing I thought was they were going to sign a center in free agency. My thought was Evan Brown just made more sense because of the familiarity. But again, to me, here comes the vet. and Bullets is on screen now. Makes sense to have a vet on the line with rookies or new guys in a few years in the league. Agreed. Especially if you do draft a quarterback as a rookie. You draft a quarterback. You don't want a rookie quarterback and a rookie center. That's disaster waiting to happen. So to me, you got to have a veteran center. And when your rookie comes in, he's ready to rock and roll. Go ahead, Jeff. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to make those points really quickly.
Well, it's funny because Tuch mentions that he thought Doug Flutie was actually in the background back there, but it is, in fact, Riker for some reason or another. But I agree. It does kind of have a striking resemblance to Doug Flutie. It's pretty funny. He's actually got a Patrick Mahomes-like haircut right now, but he'll never admit that.
He doesn't have the mohawk. He's just got the perm.
But anyways, I'll try to make this a little quick. There are some comments in here that go in line with this. So real quick, about when Tim was mentioning Tuch's comment about moving down, I have mentioned to you guys before that I thought it was a possibility for them to move down with both picks. I will say at this point right now, as more and more time goes on, it's looking more and more likely that that first pick is going to stay where it's at and they're going to go ahead and take Williams. But that being the case, if they do, in fact, stay at one, number one, I absolutely guarantee you guys they will move down from number nine because they need to pick up extra capital. You don't just trade away the capital that you have wanting to build through the draft and not have an intention of acquiring more, in my opinion. So I think they are going to move down, if not from there, and for sure at number nine and definitely in some other spots. So, you know, I anticipate them doing that and get more picks. That being said, also, I do see a world where I also think they're going to take a center somewhere in free agency. They're going to get someone somewhere. Or if not that, stick with who they have right now in Bates to play center. But I do still think they're going to draft one. And as Tim said, it's difficult to come in and be a starting center as a rookie. You're going to want to groom them a little bit. Now, that being said, as far as Bates is concerned, I think that, like I said, if the season started today, he's probably the starting center. I don't think they brought him in necessarily with the thought that he was going to be the starter. You guys got to keep in mind, last year, right before the season started, Poles traded a sixth-round pick for Dan Feeney, who started one game, I think. I don't think they ever had any intention of him starting at all. So, you know, I think a fifth-round pick for a depth piece, who, knowing in this league, when you're going to have guys go down in the interior offensive line, you're going to have someone step up and play. I think that was the bigger move here, is knowing that you have a guy that you can rely on, who can come in and play when you need him to, but can also be a starter if you really need him to be. But I do agree, guys. I think they're going to take a center somewhere in the draft, but I don't know if they want him to come in and start right away. So having Bates in place would be good, but I still wouldn't be surprised, guys, if they go and pick up an interior offensive lineman in free agency still. That would not shock me one bit, because I could see them doing that to get a guy to either start or to be more of depth piece there, because I don't necessarily think he has to be a starter, Bates.
Well, and let me clarify really quickly. Like, I do think that they trade the fifth for him to be a starter, but if they were to go out and get a center, you have Bates who can play guard as well. So that would make more sense too. My point is they're bringing in somebody to groom a rookie center, whether it's Bates or if they're bringing in another guard or another center. But yes, I do agree. They're definitely going to improve the offensive line in free agency at least for depth, because what we saw from Nate Davis last year, and I'm not so sold on him. And, you know, we don't know about Tevin and his health. So go ahead, Jeff. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine. You pretty much said everything I wanted to say about that. I really kind of want to move on from it. I just wanted to really make the point that I think he could be the starter. I think if the season started today, he is the starting center. But I would not say, you know, let's come to a conclusion he has to be the guy, because he doesn't. I think he could very well have just been brought in to be a depth piece, because we've seen Poles trade late round draft picks for backup interior offensive linemen before. It's not the first time it's happened. So I would not be surprised to see that be the move. Now, we should move on a little bit, because we definitely have to talk about Jalen Johnson a little bit, and I want to get to you guys' questions. So let's talk about this Jalen Johnson deal real quick, okay? Because this is huge, okay? This is exactly what we've all been waiting for the past year now. And the biggest transition, I think, in this whole scenario was that this dude asked for a trade, okay, just a few months ago. He was ready to move on before Montez Sweat was brought in. You know, before they traded for Montez Sweat, he asked for a trade, Jalen, and he was ready to move on because they weren't meeting the number that he wanted. And this was before he went on that tear of, you know, picking off like 7,000 passes at the end of the season. So that being said, I feel like the Bears kind of – I feel they still – even though you could argue that Jalen got some leverage because of the fact that he went on a tear to end the season and showed his worth as one of the top corners in the league because he was getting that ball production that they've been desperately talking about for the last 2 years now. But also, he still didn't end up being the top-paid corner. Poles got the deal that he wanted in place there. You can see it wasn't – I mean, it's not humongous. He's not resetting the market. He's getting paid heavily, but at the same time, it's like you're getting this guy, and this is something that Poles has shown a tendency to do in the past with his deals as well. Brad Spielberger was on CHGO yesterday and mentioned that Cole Kmet, for instance, has one of the flattest deals in the entire league. His cap hit is like exactly the same year after year after year. And Jalen Johnson's cap hit for the last 3 years of his deal is $21 million each year. So there is something to be said for that here, guys. There's a connection there. I feel like Poles has a tendency to want to do that because he wants to be able to, number one, get out at the end if he doesn't want to still be there. But also, he understands that you have to pay these guys some money. So load them up front a little bit, but also giving yourself an out if you need to is pretty much the way to go. And it's worked out pretty well. And I think Jalen saw that, you know, he was getting paid getting a good offer here, I should say. And the Bears understood that you didn't want to lose this guy. So we came to an agreement and it worked out. He got a really nice deal here. So everybody's happy. We're all happy as fans. The Bears are happy as an organization. And Jalen's happy to stay in Chicago because he has mentioned he couldn't see himself playing anywhere else. So I love that he's here. I love that he's still there. And Poles mentioned also after the signing that the growth that Tyrique Stevenson made at the end of the season, a lot of that was put towards Jalen Johnson and his tendency to want to work with the kid and make him better. And he said a lot of it was on John Hope, the corners coach, but you can't say that Jalen Johnson didn't play a big part in his development because he spent time with the guy that he didn't have to. And that says a lot about him. It says a lot about the person, the character, and the teammate and the guy you want on your roster, especially considering the fact that he had such a great season. And he has been a very good player outside of the interceptions for his entire career. So,
well, to piggyback off of that really quick, talking about him and Tyrique Stevenson, and you know, you got a rookie coming in here, second round pick, very similar to you. You were a second round pick. You're in the last year of your deal. You could very easily say, screw this kid. I'm not going to help him get any better. He's going to be my replacement. But he didn't do that. You know, that's not in his character. He's a different person. So to me, yeah, I really do think, he's a great person as well as a player, and his football character is clearly off the charts. You know, it, for him to do that with Tyrique Stevenson and Terrell Smith and these other young DBs speaks volumes about Jalen Johnson, the person and the player. And every time we've heard him speak, he's never once, you know, bad-mouthed anybody. To me, I think, you know, he did request that trade, but to me, I almost feel like that was almost another like mastermind move by Ryan Poles, you know, to try to drive up the value on him, you know, because, or not to try to drive up the value, to maybe, you know, get him to get the cost down a little bit, maybe. And because, you know, like he said, when he was receiving trade offers, he wasn't going below a low first round pick. It wasn't going to happen. And, you know, to me, this kind of worked out well for both sides. Number one, you know, Jalen Johnson bet on himself. He wasn't going to sign, you know, for chump change. And he didn't feel like $14 million was enough. But he also didn't. He was looking for about $17 million before the season started. And, you know, they weren't going to pay him that. So, but they wanted to give him $14. He wasn't going to take $14. And he bet on himself, didn't sign the deal. And, you know, the interceptions started coming. The turnovers started coming. And if you want to base it just on his play, Jalen Johnson has been a lockdown corner since the moment he stepped in this league. Teams don't like throwing his way. Opposing quarterbacks in general do not like throwing his way because the guys aren't open. They're just not. Jalen is a very, very sticky corner. And, you know, to me, I've never been, you know, I think turnovers are important. Sure. You know, you want guys to have turnovers, but at the same time, like if you can get corners like Jalen Johnson who are sticky and they don't give anything up, that is incredibly valuable to me. That's more valuable than the turnovers because, you know, you got guys like, who's the corner, in Dallas?
Oh my gosh. Why am I drawing a blank on his name? Trayvon Diggs.
You know, he's gets a lot of turnovers, but he also gets burnt a lot because he takes a lot of chances. You know, Jalen Johnson does not get burnt. It's very rare. He gets burnt every once in a while, but it's incredibly rare and he locks guys down. So to me, that's more important than the interceptions because he's not giving anything up in the passing game. So like, to me, like I thought he'd earned his money already. But it was just icing on the cake to see him pick up the, you know, gain and get some of them turnovers. And honestly, he had what, 6, 7, 8, you know, chances that, in, you know, about 3 or 4 of those that he didn't get that he just dropped. And I promise you, he's going to be working on that in the offseason. And I know there was a comment on here just a little bit ago that said, I hope he doesn't pull an Eddie Jackson once he gets his deal and just kind of stops playing hard. Here it is. Bullet says he needs to stay hungry and justify that payday. Don't pull an Eddie Jackson. And, you know, a lot of people say that Eddie Jackson made a business decision. That's what a lot of people feel like, and he wasn't willing to hit. And it wasn't until Eberflus came in that you started seeing him hit a little more, and then this year kind of went back to the old ways again a little bit. But I want to make a quick point
about that real quick because I can't remember what interview he was on, but you guys have probably seen Josh Lucas has made the rounds with some of the different Chicago media members giving him interviews. And he mentioned on one of them that he has noticed over the course of his career that whenever defensive backs get paid, they pretty much have a tendency to not tackle the next year. They will not stick their nose in there because, number one, they've already been paid. They don't want to get hurt, and it's just a lot. They just don't want to deal with it. So he thinks that once that happens, that for most part, they get out of that business. And I really hope that's not the case because Jalen showed to be a pretty damn good tackler last year. He was really sticking his nose in there in a way he didn't in the past. So,
I mean, he got hurt tackling by knocking a guy with his shoulder.
And I can understand that happening. I do. I understand why you would want to be careful in that scenario as a defensive back. But in this defense, the way they play, you have to be a physical DB. You have to be able to get in there and get the job done. You have to be able to go in and tackle when other guys miss. You know, it's just the way it is. So, that being said, I agree. I hope that's not the case. I hope he doesn't kind of fall off and not tackle because we're still going to need him to do that. But, I mean, in any case, he's just a great player that you have to have extended. You have to have on your team because of his impact in coverage it's a game changer. It really is. It's a true game changer. He did flip the course some games this year with his interceptions. So we got to remember that. And Cliff makes the point that he bets $19 million, looks pretty bear friendly in a couple of years. And I totally agree. It looks pretty bear friendly right now. You really look at it and consider the fact that he's one of the top corners in the game. And I think he's number 4 in annual average value. So, you know, I mean, really it was a win-win for everybody. I mean, it was honestly kind of surprising to see the numbers when they came out and how honestly they were pretty damn team friendly, but also obviously Jalen got paid. That's a really nice guarantee there in $54 million. Because I do believe he got the number 1 guarantee among all corners in his guarantees. So in the numbers there, I should say. So that's great. You know, I'm happy that he's still around. We all wanted him here. So it was a great day last night when we saw that come in. I think it was kind of expected. It was a little surprising to see that after 2 days, tag came on him that he was immediately signed.
No, they were really close, like Poles had said.
Well, that's the point I wanted to make because I saw I've seen on Twitter some different people saying, well, what was the point of tagging him then if you were so close on signing him anyways? If you were going to get him signed regardless, why would you tag him? And I was just thinking, I believe Greg actually was commenting on somebody too. Greg Gabriel on Twitter said the same thing to somebody. And my argument was that, well, if you don't tag him, then you take the risk of somebody else potentially signing him. Maybe he does get a better deal from somebody else and says, I kind of like that. I'm out the door.
They weren't going to use that tag on anybody.
You don't allow that risk to take place in the first place.
Well, I mean, I was just saying that they weren't going to use that tag on anybody else anyway. So what's it hurting? You know, if you've got it, use it. I mean, it's not hurting anything. And he actually made less money on his average annual than he was in the tag. The tag was $19.8 million. He's averaging $19 million.
Well, that actually worked out really well for the Bears because I don't know if you guys saw, So the cap charge on the tag was like, I think it was like $19.8 million. And because of the way that they structured his deal, his cap charge this year is like, I believe they end up saving like, I can't remember the exact number, but it was somewhere in between like $5 to $8 million, if I'm not mistaken. And that's actually pretty big. You're talking about signing one or two impact free agents with that kind of money. So yes, that's a big deal to save that this year. Now you're kind of pushing it down the road a little bit, but like I mentioned, guys, his cap charge for the last three years is $21 million, and they do have an out after year, I believe three, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So again, I mean, it was great for everyone the way that they made that work out. And Brewhaw makes a point in the chat here that he thinks that that Johnson won't let up as far as his tackle we were talking about earlier, that there's a couple really good youngsters behind him and he didn't want to have any competition for his position. And I tend to agree with you to an extent. I think that, I don't know if he really views them as his competition, because Jalen's the kind of guy that has supreme confidence in himself and his ability. So I'm not sure he saw them as competition behind them, but I do think he understands that, like, the Bears are the kind of team that they're going to look at him, and if they see a drop off in his play, if it's considerable, they're not going to be afraid to put somebody else in there. Now, obviously they just signed him to a big contract, so that's not happening anytime soon, regardless of what happens, but I don't expect his play to drop off either. So again, guys, this was good for everyone. It made sense for everybody. And again, you know, Pulse had mentioned that Tyreek Stevenson had grown significantly as a player, you know, with his work with Jalen Johnson, and just probably from seeing him as a professional too. So I like it all. I think it's great. And I think it was a good thing for the Bears to have, you know, for us to get this done right now. So,
well, I will go ahead and say that I don't think he's going to let up. And my simple thought, I just don't get that kind of vibe from Jalen Johnson. And, you know, one thing that we've heard every time he speaks, he's not trying to perform on the field for the check. He wants to be the best, and he's made that known that he wants to continuously get better. And he always says it day in, day out, every day, getting better every day. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be the best. He's not saying I want to be the highest paid corner. And he's never once said that. As a matter of fact, he's always saying, like, I don't expect to be the highest paid corner, but you know, he's right now playing like it. And I don't see that changing. I think he wants his name to be etched at the top, and that's what he's looking for. And obviously the money is important. He wanted that deal, but I think it's more important for him to be the best. I really do feel that way. And I'm not so sure it was the same thing with Eddie Jackson. I think Eddie Jackson may have been more about that contract. And, you know, to be fair, Eddie Jackson had a serious knee injury before he got drafted. So, you know, maybe he wanted to get his money first and then that was it, because he just wanted to make sure that he could get paid before he got injured again. And then after that, it was, I'm not going to do anything to risk getting hurt. So, but you know, we got a couple more points here we want to get to.
Well, there's some questions we got to get to too. So let's make this quick.
Well, no, I was just going to say, like, but you'd already mentioned it before about Cole Kmet. You're like, and it just goes to show that Ryan Poles is not afraid to pay previous regimes draft picks. He's just not, if they fit what they're looking for. And I think both of those guys fit exactly that character that they're talking about. You know, they both have that incredible football character.
And production.
And production. You know,
well, that's the thing about Kmet too that was interesting, and I'll try to make this as quick as I can. But I mean, Kmet, they, like Aldo was saying earlier, they didn't pay him based on what he'd done. They paid him based on what they thought he was going to do. And look what he did. He made a huge jump this year. So Poles obviously invested money in somebody that he saw taking a significant jump with this team. So you got to give him kudos for that. He saw and he went and did it. So, you know, I'm glad that he is investing in players regardless of regime, because he just knows that they're going to be a fit and they're working. So I do feel like he's going to invest in his own players, his own draft picks when it comes time, as long as they're doing the same things. So let's move on though.
There's one point I want to get to really quickly, and I'm not going to drag this conversation on, I promise. But if I don't know if you guys have seen this, but today, not too long ago, a few hours ago, there was a tweet from, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name now. Mikey Bear Down Cuz. And he puts on here that he has sources. I'm not sure if you can pull this tweet up, Aldo. If not, I'm going to try to paraphrase best I can, but he says, from a source that he's very connected to, that's as close to the situation as you can be, says that Justin Fields is staying. They're trading down from that number one pick. And I'm only telling you guys that just to show you, or just to tell you that, you know, we keep seeing so many different things all over the place. And you know, Mikey, who's not one to typically post things like this, and he's having a credibility attacked, but he's just saying, you know, I don't make this stuff up. This is something that I'm being told for source. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And we hear from Greg all the time. Like, if I'm wrong, so what? You know, I'm the same way. I feel the same way. If I'm wrong about all this in the end, so what? You know, we all have opinions on what we think is going to happen. But again, until we know, we don't know. So, but I wanted to point that out. So you guys, you know, just to let you know, there is another, there's something from the opposite end of what we're hearing from other people that it's still in play, guys. We don't know. So let's get into some questions really quickly. I know there was one on here from Tooch. It was about, here we go. Here's one right here. It doesn't matter which one, but here we go. Tooch says, what do you guys think about trading back and grabbing JJ McCarthy to compete with Fields? Local kid loves the Bears, and the Bears hedge their bets on Fields. I will tell you, I'll go ahead and start, Jeff, if you don't mind. I will tell you that I don't, early in this process, I wasn't a very big JJ McCarthy fan. I didn't think that he was, I didn't see franchise quarterback ability. And the more I've watched into him or looked at some of his tape and saw the situation at hand, I'm starting to grow on this kid a lot more than I was in the past. And after hearing him at the combine and hearing how incredibly intelligent this guy is, and he does have the arm talent, he does have all of the ability. He just might, you know, he was in an offense that didn't need to throw the ball. They ran it an awful lot. And, you know, him being from the Chicagoland area and in his interview talking about how much he would love to play for the Bears, grew up loving the Bears, obviously. You know, there's a lot of connections with the Bears and former, you know, or in kids that are have been from that area and big fans of the Bears. They've actually looked to taking those guys several times. You know, there's several situations. So I do think that plays into it a lot. I think that's important to Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and staff. I think it's important for guys who are from the Chicagoland area and want to be here in Chicago. That's important to them because, you know, who else is going to play that hard? You know, the guys that are going to play the hardest for your organization, the guys that grew up loving the Bears. So I think that is important. And I think that it does, you know, there is a good possibility. And here's the thing, you could trade down. So let's go really quickly. Let's go to a scenario. Say they did go get Russell Wilson. I think JJ McCarthy is the perfect quarterback then to draft because now he can sit. Because I think he's best suited to sit.
Well, I think that's basically the scenario that would have been laid out is to go get a guy like JJ McCarthy to sit under Wilson is in that article that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah. And I do think, and even if it's not, you know, Russell Wilson, you could keep Justin Fields and draft JJ McCarthy because he's going to have a couple of years. And then you run into a scenario similar to, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Matt Flynn a few years back where, you know, you may be able to trade him one of them for a lot of draft capital if one or the other plays well. You know, if Justin Fields plays it out and has a really good rest of his career, you can stick with him and trade JJ McCarthy. Or, you know, if JJ McCarthy comes in when Fields gets hurt or if you promote him to the starter or whatever, you then have Justin Fields where you can trade then. So it's a good scenario either way. And, you know, if you don't take him number one overall, there's not a whole lot of pressure on either quarterback to feel animosity one way or towards the other to the other guy or whatever. And, you know, it's not going to create a whole lot of division necessarily in the locker room like it would if you kept Justin and drafted Caleb Williams number one overall. That would never work in any scenario. But if you bring in a guy to be a developmental quarterback, it just brings competition to me in the room. And it could only, in my opinion, benefit both guys. So I honestly, if you want my opinion, which you probably don't, but I'm going to give it anyway. My opinion is that they move down from number one and they do draft a quarterback, whether it's, you know, later in the first round or early or later in the draft. But I do think they're going to draft a quarterback to be a developmental guy. And JJ McCarthy would be a really good player to do that with. And you can get him late in the first round. So I believe you can get him late in the first round. I think he's still going to be available because there's going to be a lot of really good players on the board early in the first round. Some of those guys are going to fall, you know, whether it's some of those receivers, everybody keeps saying, you know, those top three or four receivers are going to be gone in the first six picks. you know, I don't see it happening. Every year there's always players that they say, or they're going to go in the top six. They're going to go in the top six. They're all three of these guys, and it never happens that way. So I do think some guys are going to fall. Somebody's going to fall, whether it's the offensive lineman, whether it's the edge, whether it's the receivers. Somebody's going to fall, and it's probably going to be quarterbacks, because I think we're going to see a really early run, 1, 2, 3 most likely, or quarterback. And then I think it's going to be a little bit of a drop off, and then we're not going to start. And then we're going to see some of those really great players start getting drafted. And that's where everything starts getting crazy. Okay. So like I said, I think he's going to fall probably late first round or mid to late first round. And that'd be a good opportunity if the Bears do in fact trade down to pick him up later in the draft.
All right. So a couple things. First of all, I don't see that at all. I don't think he's going to fall that far. I would be shocked if he fell out of the top 15. Just from the reports that are going around, I feel like his stock is rising. You can say what you want about wins not being a quarterback stat, and they really aren't, but all he's done at Michigan is win. He has shown that he has physical talent, enough physical talent to play the position. So the question was, what would we think about it? And so before I answer that, I will say that I at this point, like I just mentioned earlier, guys, I think it's the way things are going right now. The closer we get to this thing and the more time that goes by, I think it's getting more and more, I don't want to say obvious, but I think it's more and more likely that they're going to take Williams, just because the person and the football thing is starting to, it seems like it's more or less what they want, more so than maybe we would have thought in the past, or some people would have thought in the past. So to answer the question, though, I would not hate them moving down to get JJ McCarthy and playing and developing him, because I do think that there's a lot to like there. The person, as Tim mentioned in the interviews, is phenomenal. He's a great kid. I mean, I think he's exactly what you would want in your locker room. And I think he absolutely does have the talent and the physical ability to be great. The one big question mark as far as his physical issue, it would be an issue to me, in my opinion. And we've talked, and this has been talked about before. Some people argue it's not that huge of a deal, but I would argue, because of the fact that the Bears play in Chicago, that it is. He's got awfully small hands. They're like 9-inch hands or something like that. And a quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion, especially considering the fact you're going to be playing in rough weather in Chicago, you better have big enough hands to be able to grip that damn ball. And if your hands ain't big enough to do that, especially in that weather, like I said, I just don't know how you're going to invest high draft capital on a guy and do it. Now, to be fair, Drew Brees had kind of small hands too, but he went in the third round, guys. So, I mean, nobody thought Drew Brees was going to come in and be, you know, a top quarterback either. And not everybody did, I should say. Somebody obviously did. But my point is that there is kind of a question there about that. And I'm not sure if it's a big enough deal to make a difference in his evaluation, but I would imagine it does, because we've seen that Poles and Eberflus, this regime, they value traits, physical traits, length, things like that. So I think that would be a big deal. And GC makes a perfect point here too. I had this in the back of my mind and meant to mention it. Drew Brees played in a dome, so he never had to worry really about the bad weather unless he was on the road. So again, that's a great point. You know, you're talking about, you know, the fact he had small hands, it didn't impact him as much because of that. So I think with this team in this city, I think it is a bigger deal than you might think to have big enough hands to play in this environment, to be able to throw in this kind of environment, especially when the weather's rough. So that's just my two cents on that. But I wouldn't hate it though, guys, because I do like McCarthy, especially as like the person and the leader and the football player, the football character. I think it's phenomenal. So I wouldn't hate it. I don't see it as a likelihood in my opinion right now.
So let's go ahead and get to another question here. Scott asks, if MHJ is at 5, do the Bears use their second car to go get him? Is that second first round pick, I'm assuming?
I'm assuming that's what he's saying. Yeah. I think he's trying to say, do we move up? I don't know if Scott, you might think that the Bears have a second round pick to use as ammunition to move up to 5 from 9. I'm not sure if that's what you're saying, but if it is, they currently do not have a second round pick in this draft. They would have to use a pick next year, which they do have 2 second rounders next year. I would tend to doubt that'd be the case. And number one, the first thing I'm going to say is I would be absolutely shocked and be like beyond shocked if Marvin Harrison lasted until number 5. There is just no world that I could see where he's going to go that far down. If he's around at 4, I'd be shocked. I think he's going to go top three because even though there are quarterbacks in this draft that teams are going to want to go get, I mean, this dude is – you can make an argument he's the absolute best player in this entire draft. So I would be shocked if he fell to five. And if he was there, do I think the Bears could try to go get him? Maybe. But as another commenter mentioned before too, there is an awfully deep draft at receiver this year. And I could very easily see them waiting to get one, especially considering the fact they still have a need on the edge. And I think you can get a really good edge defender at number nine if you don't move down.
I think he's most likely going at four unless somebody moves up earlier with one of those picks. But I think 1, 2, 3 is almost guaranteed quarterback. Excuse me. 1, 2, 3 is almost guaranteed going to be quarterback. And honestly, Arizona could too. Like they say they're sticking with Kyler Murray, but you don't know. I think they are because the contract situation is almost guaranteed, but I could definitely see them picking up somebody later in the draft. But yeah, I don't see him going past four to them. So I think if he made it to five, there's going to be a lot of teams calling up, trying to get up to five to get him. So yeah, I don't see that happening. I could see a scenario where the Bears traded down to say three or two or somewhere in there and then possibly taking him there. But other than that, he's not getting past four. I think the only way that he goes earlier than four is if the Bears move down, but most likely he's going at four, not later. So I don't see a scenario where they trade up to get him. I don't see them giving up an additional pick to go up to get him at five from nine. Just my personal opinion, especially when there's a lot of really great receivers in this draft. They could pick one up at nine. So, or even some in the second round. Do we have any more questions we can get to before we go on?
There's one more here that Aldo had earlier, and it was a good point that I kind of addressed it in the chat, and I'll mention it here on the show too. So Aldo asked if the Bears overreacted and traded for Ryan Bates the day before he'd probably be released, and he says that because the Bills had released 10 players the day after the trade. Now, that being said, I see where you're coming from with that. They did release a ton of guys because if you guys aren't aware, the Bills were in like cap hell. They were like way over in cap space, and they had to make a bunch of moves to get under, and they're still not under as far as I'm mistaken, or as far as I know. So they've made a ton of moves to try to get under the cap. So that kind of proves that it really is real. And here's some of their castoffs as Aldo puts on the screen, Jordan Poyer, the safeties we mentioned earlier, center Mitch Morse, defensive back Ceron Neal, and wide receiver Deontay Hardy. Now, and the argument I would make is
Gabe Davis is a free agent.
Well, I was just going to say, as you see there, there's a center that they released there in Mitch Morse, who was the starting center. The argument that I would make is Bates was probably in line to be the starter somewhere along their interior offensive line in Buffalo. But when the Bears waved a high first round pick in front of their face and said, hey, you know, here's an opportunity for you to draft a guy later in the draft to help fill your needs right now, a depth piece that you might need more right now. It might work out better for you that way. They did that. So they were able to accept that. They thought that worked better for them. Now in the Bears case, this is a good move for them because it gives them a depth piece that they might not have had. And there are some that have argued that this draft is not as deep later on in the draft because of the fact there's been so many guys that opted to stay in school, among other things. So in my opinion, I feel like they didn't necessarily overreact. It's just the guy that they wanted. It was the guy that they really wanted. They'd always wanted, and they had an opportunity to get him. I think he would have been a starter in Buffalo had the Bears not traded for him. I believe that. Yes.
One more question. Then we're going to make one point right afterwards, really quickly. Slick asks, do you think that Poles would trade out of both the first round picks? I think absolutely one of them. And could I see both scenarios? Yes. But I definitely think one of them is certain. One or the other, I think one is more likely than the other, but it's a possibility. Yes. It depends on what the return on investment is. And I want to make a point really quick. So really quickly, before we get out of here, Jeff and I are big Dragon Ball Z fans. Jeff's wearing his Dragon Ball shirt. Now I've got my Dragon Ball shirt on. If you guys don't know this already, Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, passed away yesterday. So in remembrance of him, Jeff and I wore our Dragon Ball shirts. It's a way of life for us. We've loved it our whole lives, and we're adults now, but don't care because it's the best show ever. So, but wanted to pay some condolences to him and the family. 68 years old, early way to go. But he was he created probably the greatest anime in the history of anime. So, you know.
R.I.P.
Yep.
So thank you, Chatters, for offering your condolences. He was a big part of me and Tim's childhood. Dragon Ball Z was huge for us and many, many, many other people. You see many adults today that are still all about Dragon Ball. I mean, it's such a fantastic piece of animation. And a lot of people will tell you they got into other anime because of Dragon Ball. So in any case, guys, a lot of us here in the United States grow up reading comic books. A lot of people in Japan grow up reading manga, and that's exactly what Dragon Ball is. So RIP to Akira Toriyama, and we appreciate you guys being here as always. Please like and follow. As always, guys, we always ask that. We appreciate you being here tonight. We'll see you again next week. As always, great show tonight, guys. Thanks a lot.
Say bye, Riker.
See ya. We'll be right back.